This is Brian Tracy, and welcome to the 21st century. In less than 50 years, we have gone from the industrial age through the service age and into the information age, and things will never be the same again. We've moved in one generation from the age of the job, where people started off with a career and a company and stayed there for most of their lives, to the age of the entrepreneur, the contingency worker, the free agent, where you will work at a variety of jobs and careers throughout your life. We've moved from the age of manpower to the age of mind power. We have gone from a time where value was contained in land, capital, factories, fixtures, and raw materials into the psychozoic age, the age of the mind, where value is now contained in knowledge and skill and in your ability to apply it quickly in a competitive marketplace. Every major shift in culture and technology is recognized by only a few people at first, the innovators and early adapters, like yourself. These are followed by the late adapters, a larger percentage of the population, and then eventually by everyone else, the vast majority who catch on much later, if at all. We have moved from the era of lifelong employment to the era of lifelong employability. The biggest mistake you can ever make is to ever think that you work for anyone else but yourself. The innovators and early adapters recognize that they are completely self-responsible agents in a competitive workplace. You are the president of your own personal services corporation. You are the president of an entrepreneurial organization with only one employee, yourself. You have one product to sell in the marketplace, your personal services. For the rest of your life, your job is to run your personal company efficiently and effectively so as to maximize your value. Your goal must be to sell the very highest quality and quantity possible of your personal services so that you can enjoy a wonderful standard of living, accomplish all of your goals and dreams in life, and retire financially independent. Here are some questions for you. Would you like to double your income? Triple your income? Become a self-made millionaire? Would you like to rise to the top of your field and become one of the most successful and respected people in your industry? Would you like to have a beautiful home, a beautiful family, wonderful relationships, a nice car, a fat bank account, and an ever-expanding future of opportunities and possibilities? Well, the good news is that all of these are possible for you. And in this program, I'll show you how you can have them all. I'll give you a series of step-by-step strategies, methods, and techniques that you can use starting immediately to take complete control of your life and accomplish anything that you really, really want. How do you know that this is possible? Simple. Bertrand Russell, the British philosopher, once wrote that the very best proof that something can be done is that someone else has already done it. All around you today are men and women who started with nothing, and often with less than nothing, who have discovered and applied the key success formulas contained in this program to transform their lives. They've gone from rags to riches. They've gone from poverty and obscurity to success and affluence. Today, we are surrounded by millions of self-made millionaires, thousands of multimillionaires, and almost 200 billionaires, virtually every one of whom began with nothing and achieved their fortunes in one generation. And whatever others have done, you can do as well, if you find out what they did and you do exactly the same things over and over again until you achieve the same results. One of the great secrets of success has always been learn from the experts. As a wise man once told me, Brian, he said, find out what other successful people have done and then do the same thing. You will never live long enough to figure it all out for yourself. The very fact that you are taking your precious time to listen to this program means that you are a member of the elite. You are one of the top 10%, perhaps even the top 5% of men and women in our society today. Now, forget about your current income or financial situation for a moment. Just remember the great rule. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. All that really matters is where you're going. Where you are going in life is determined by what you are doing at this moment. And what you are doing right now is that you are learning how to apply the same success principles that have been used by hundreds of thousands and millions of men and women, even people from other countries with no money, no friends, no language skills, no education, no contacts, and no resources to build wonderful lives for themselves. And what others have done, you can do as well. In the information age, knowledge is the raw material of success. The more you learn, the more you earn. In the information age, your ability to think well about yourself, your life, your work, and your relationships is the critical determinant of how much success and satisfaction you'll enjoy in each of those areas. The better you think, the better results you get. The better results you get, the better you feel and the happier you are. The better you feel and the happier you are, the more effective you are with other people and the more they want to work with you and be associated with you. The more and better friends, associates, and contacts you have, the more doors that open for you, the more you're paid, and the faster you'll be promoted. Your life gets onto an upward spiral that eventually enables you to enjoy one of the highest standards of living in our society. That's what this program is all about. There's only one thing necessary for you to make these ideas work. It is that you accept complete responsibility for yourself and for everything that happens to you in life. This is one of the most difficult and yet one of the most important steps that you ever take in moving onto the high road of success and happiness. The issue of personal responsibility is the major personal, social, cultural, and economic issue of our day. In our society, and in every society, there's always a small minority of men and women like yourself who accept responsibility for everything they are and everything that they will ever become. These are the people who own the future. These are the people who take complete control of their own lives and their own destinies. The vast majority of people, unfortunately, take only small amounts of responsibility and, in too many cases, they take no responsibility at all. The vast majority of people feel that they are victims of forces over which they have no control. They blame their problems on their parents, their past, their bosses, their families, their bills, and other people or factors in society. The fact is that everyone has problems and difficulties in life. Most of us have had difficult childhoods and many problems in our earlier years. Nonetheless, we are where we are, and we are what we are because of our own choices and our own decisions today. We are where we are and what we are because of the things that we have done and often the things that we have failed to do. The people of tomorrow, the men and women of the 21st century, the knowledge workers like yourself who work with their minds, their skills, their abilities, are the ones who own the future because they take responsibility for it. This acceptance of complete responsibility for your life is the key to seeing yourself as the president of the company, You, Inc. It is only when you cross this mental threshold that the entire world opens up for you. It's only when you accept complete responsibility for yourself that all of the principles and concepts you're about to learn have real meaning for you. It is only when you see yourself as an economic and social adult and leave behind the complaints and excuses of economic and social children that you begin rapidly to move to the top of your field. Now, what are you responsible for? Well, let's look at a few things. First of all, you are responsible for your income. Over the long term, you determine exactly the amount of money that you make from your work. The good news is that if you're not happy with your income for any reason, you are free to increase it, to double it or triple it in the months and years ahead. We're living in a society of incredible abundance, and there's no restriction on how much you can earn. All you have to do is find out who else is earning as much as you want to earn, and then do the same things he or she is doing until you achieve the same income level. You are responsible for your health. You are responsible for your level of fitness, your weight, your energy levels, your appearance, and virtually everything about your physical person over which you have complete control. You're responsible for your relationships, for your emotions, your reactions, your responses, and your behaviors with other people. Nobody makes you think, say, or feel anything. The way you behave is always the result of a specific choice or a failure to choose on your part. From this point forward, develop the discipline of refusing to make excuses for anything. Refuse to criticize, condemn, or complain. Refuse to blame other people for things that aren't going well in your life. Instead, repeat to yourself over and over the words, "I am responsible. I am responsible. I am responsible." Even if you are not directly responsible for the situation you find yourself in today, you are responsible for the way you behave from this moment forward. And the way you behave will largely determine what happens as a result of your circumstances. Keep saying to yourself, "If it's to be, it's up to me." If there's anything in your life that you're not happy about, decide right now that you're going to do something to change it, rather than complain about it or blame someone else for it. The very act of deciding to take action will liberate your creative energies and make you a more positive and focused person. It will give you a tremendous sense of personal power and personal control. As the president of your own personal services corporation, you must engage in regular and systematic strategic planning for yourself, your life, your career, your finances, and your future. Strategic planning, according to Fortune magazine, is the most respected and most valuable of all management skills for assuring the proper use of your resources and the timely achievement of your goals and objectives. And strategic planning is a skill, like riding a bicycle, that you can learn and master over time with regular practice. Let me introduce you now to some key words, phrases, and formulas that we will return to throughout this program. Each of these words introduces a way of thinking that you can use to dramatically improve your results. The first step is to explain the purpose of strategic planning. In strategic planning with corporations, the sole aim is to increase the return on equity invested, or ROE. The equity of a corporation is the total amount of money that the owners of the corporation have invested in the company in the hope of getting a return. Strategic planning is aimed at reallocating the resources and changing the activities of the organization so as to increase its percentage return on the equity of the owners. In personal strategic planning for yourself, your job is to increase your ROE as well, your return on energy. Your equity in your work and your life is your sweat equity. It is the investment of your intellectual, emotional, physical, and spiritual capital in your career on which you want to get the very highest return. In business, all analysis, all strategy, all planning, and all results can be defined in financial terms. With regard to your own personal services corporation, your career, you should analyze and define all of your results in financial terms as well. Everything that you do in your work life should be aimed at increasing the amount of money you receive from the amount of your own personal human capital that you invest. Your job is to earn the very highest amount of money by applying your mental, emotional, and physical energies in the very best way to contribute the very most value and achieve the very highest level of rewards. Remember, just because someone is earning twice as much as you are doesn't mean that they are twice as smart or twice as capable. Very often, they may not be as confident or as capable as you are, but they have learned how to deploy themselves more strategically so as to earn a higher income in exchange for their efforts. And so can you. With regard to increasing your return on energy or your return on life invested, there are a series of very important words that you must learn. The first of these is the word acceleration. Time is the currency of the 21st century. A dollar, a result, a sale, a reward is more valuable sooner rather than later. Your job is to use every method and technique possible to accelerate the achievement of your results. Sometimes your ability to get a result faster than someone else is the critical determinant of whether or not your life and your career gets onto the fast track. Throughout this program, we will be looking at ways to accelerate the attainment of your goals by using a variety of techniques practiced by the most successful men and women in our society and in every industry. Another important word is leverage. You must always be looking for ways to leverage the strength of your skills, your abilities, your contacts, your resources, your personality, and your specialized knowledge so that you can get vastly greater results than the average person with the same resources. Some of the primary methods of leverage in your career are the use of OPK, or other people's knowledge. Another is OPI, or other people's ideas. You can use OPE, which refers to other people's energy. When you develop the ability to tap into and utilize other people's knowledge, ideas, and energy, you will soon attract the fourth key leverage factor, OPM, or other people's money. Today, money flows to the people who have demonstrated their ability to coordinate knowledge and resources to create value and get results. The better you become at leveraging yourself through the people and resources around you, the more opportunities you will attract to yourself to achieve the kind of wealth that you desire. A third word for you to learn and remember is multiplication. One of the ways for you to succeed greatly is for you to find ways to multiply yourself times other people. For example, if you hire an employee who can do work that you would normally have to do, but at a lower wage rate than you can earn, you are multiplying yourself. If you build a multi-level or network marketing business by recruiting and managing other distributors, you are multiplying your time, talents, and abilities times the skills and abilities of others. Peter Drucker wrote that knowledge and know-how are the keys to the 21st century. One of the ways that you can step on the gas pedal of your own career, improve your acceleration, increase your leverage, and multiply your results even more is by the acquisition of more practical knowledge and skill that you can use to get even better and faster results for which people are prepared to pay you. As the president of your own company, you should see yourself as the chief executive officer of a corporation with stock that trades on the stock exchange. You should look at yourself and at everything you do as though you were a large corporation and your job was to increase the value of your stock. There are a series of management methods and techniques used by successful companies to increase their value and achieve superiority over their competition. Here are a few that you can apply to your own personal services company. The first is called Market Value Added. Market Value Added, or MVA, refers to your need to analyze everything you do in terms of whether or not it increases your market value to your current employer or your current customer. And of all the things that you can do to enhance your skills and abilities, what are the most important things you can do to increase your market value? How can you make yourself more valuable so that you can charge more for your services and be paid more by your employer? There are always many more things that you can learn and practice than you really have time for. You must be very strict with yourself. You must invest your time and energies in developing the precise skills and abilities that are of the highest value and demand in your personal marketplace. As an employee, you should have a continuing dialogue with your boss around this question. You should be continually asking him or her what skills you could develop that would make you more valuable, more promotable, more worthy of higher pay. The continual asking and the correct answering of this question is your key to rapid advancement in your career. Another key expression for you to learn is value migration. This concept requires that you look down the road 3 to 5 years and you analyze the cycles and trends in your business or industry. Where is the market going? What will your customers be wanting more of in the future? Based on your current experience, what skills and abilities will you need in the years ahead in order to be the best in order to lead your field. One of your jobs as the president of your own company is for you to think about the future. Only the leader, the person in charge, can think about the future. It is one of your chief responsibilities. As Michael Cammy, the strategic planner, said, "Those who do not think about the future cannot have one." Gary Hamel, another strategic planner and thinker, emphasizes the importance of core competencies in achieving a sustainable competitive advantage in your field. A core competency is a key skill or ability that enables you to render more and better service than someone else. So the question is always, what core competencies will be essential for you in the future, based on the way things are going, if you want to get to the top of your field? Only you, as the president of your own company, can think about these things and make these critical decisions. Only you can decide what skills and competencies you need to develop. Only you can allocate the time and resources necessary to develop these skills and master them at a high enough level so that they make a major difference in your career. And you are responsible. The starting point of personal strategic planning, before you take any specific actions, is for you to develop a strategic vision for your career. A vision is based on values, mission, purpose, and goals. Let's take each of these in order. Your vision is your ideal picture of what you would look like in your career 5 years from now. Imagine for a moment that you have no limitations. Project forward 5 years and imagine that your career is perfect in every respect. What does it look like? What are you doing? Who are you with? Who are you no longer with? What kind of money are you earning? Where do you rank in your field? For the average person, planning is merely a continuation of what they are doing today. But for you, personal strategic planning, creating a strategic vision, requires that you temporarily separate yourself from your current situation and imagine yourself somewhere, sometime in the future, living your life exactly the way you want, doing the things you most enjoy, and having the standard of living that you desire. One of the great keys to success has always been for you to do what you love to do. You will only be really happy and successful when you are doing something that you enjoy, something that interests you and attracts you, something that absorbs you and fascinates you. What are the sort of activities that really hold your attention and excite you? What is your passion in life? What could it be? Since everything is changing at a rapid rate, and you will probably not be in your current position forever, you must continually be projecting forward and imagining what your life would look like if it were ideal and perfect in every respect. Then, the only question you ask is, how? How do you go about moving from your real situation today to your ideal situation of tomorrow? Your vision is based on your values. So, what are your values? What do you stand for? What will you not stand for? What values are you absolutely committed to? For example, do you believe in the values of integrity, courage, persistence, excellence, commitment, and loyalty? Choosing your core values is one of the most important things you ever do. You will only be capable of creating an exciting future vision when it is completely consistent with your innermost values and convictions. Values clarification is the starting point of high performance, high income. What is your purpose? Why are you doing what you are doing? Why are you dedicating your life to a particular line of work? What kind of a difference do you want to make in your life with what you do? What kind of a legacy do you want to leave behind? What do you want to be remembered for? One of the greatest needs that we all have is for meaning and purpose in life, for a sense of significance. We want to feel that what we are doing has an impact that extends beyond ourselves. So what difference does your work make? What could it be? What should it be? As the president of your own company, all strategic planning is market planning, and all market planning is focused on the customer. We'll talk about this more extensively a little later. In the meantime, you have to think about who it is that you are working for. Whose life or work are you working to improve or transform in some way? Who is it that you want to make a difference for? And what kind of a difference do you want to make in their lives? Once you're clear about your vision, values, and purpose, you can write out your mission statement. This is a present tense description of how you would ideally appear to others sometime in the future. When we do strategic planning exercises with corporations, we ask them to describe the company as if it were perfect in every respect sometime in the future. You can do this for your own career as well. What words would people use to describe you if you were the very best in your field? How would people talk about you when you weren't there? If one of your existing customers or employers was having lunch with one of your prospective customers or employers, how would the person you are selling to or working for today describe you to someone else who was thinking of retaining your services? Exactly what words or phrases would he or she use in talking about you? Here's an example of a mission statement for yourself or for another professional. It goes like this. I am an outstanding professional in my field. I am recognized and respected by everyone I work with as being a person of high integrity who does high-quality work quickly and dependably. I am in the top 10% in my field in terms of pay, promotion, and advancement. I am highly valued and esteemed by my company and my customers, and I am totally committed to doing the very best job every single time. That is a typical mission statement for an individual. Now here's a question. If people talked about you, thought about you, and described you based on that mission statement, would this have an effect on your career and your prospects? Would you be paid more or promoted faster if people thought of you and spoke about you in glowing terms and described you as an absolutely excellent person in everything you did? Of course you would. And this description is too important to be left to chance. It is not something that you wonder about or hope for. It is something that you deliberately create through planning and design. You do this by writing out your own mission statement for yourself and your career, and then by making sure that everything you do is consistent with the person you have decided to become and the words that you want people to use when they describe you. Here are three other terms that you need to know to put your career onto the fast track, to double and triple your income, and to be a market leader in the months and years ahead. The first of these terms is what I call zero-based thinking. It's one of the best thinking tools ever discovered in management and in life. Zero-based thinking requires that you continually reevaluate everything you are doing based on your current situation. You continually ask yourself this key question: is there anything that I am doing today that, knowing what I now know, I wouldn't get into again today if I had to do it over? It's not possible for you to operate at maximum efficiency if you are trying to do something that, based on your current knowledge and experience, you wouldn't even get into again today if you had to do it over, knowing what you now know. Is there any relationship in your life or work, personal or intimate, financial or business, that you wouldn't get into today if you had to do it over? Is there any job that you would not take, any boss you would not work for, person you would not hire, assign, or promote if you had to do it over, knowing what you now know? Your ability to ask and answer this question honestly will largely determine your success and happiness in your career. A situation that you wouldn't get into again today is usually a major source of stress in your life. You think about it continually. You worry about it. You are preoccupied by it. And everyone has at least one. Once you've identified a zero-based thinking situation, your next question is simply this: How do I get out of this situation, and how fast? Is there any product, process, or service that you or your company is offering or engaging in that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into again today if you had to do it over? Is there any activity in your company, any commitment of resources, of time, or money that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't start up again today if you had to do it over? If so, then ask yourself, how do we get out and how fast? The third place to ask this question has to do with any commitment in your life or work of time, money, or energy. Is there anything in your life that is dragging you down, causing you stress or worry, consuming your time or emotional energy or money, that knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into again? If so, make a plan today to get out of it as quickly as possible. Perhaps the most important quality that you can develop for success in the 21st century is the quality of flexibility. This means that you bend like a willow in the wind rather than snap like a pine tree. Flexibility requires that you remain open to new information and possibilities. Flexibility means that you are willing to abandon old ideas, old activities, old products and processes and services if you would no longer get into them today if you had to do it over. Practice the three key statements of the highly flexible, highly adaptable citizen of the 21st century. First of all, be willing to admit, I was wrong. Don't waste your time bluffing and blustering, trying to cover up a bad decision when it's clear to yourself and probably everyone around you that you were wrong. Be willing to say, I made a mistake. Everybody usually knows when you've made a mistake, including yourself. Have the courage and the honesty to admit that you're not perfect. When you made the decision, it seemed like a good decision. But with further experience and additional information, you realize now that it probably wasn't such a great idea. The words, I made a mistake, will save you a lot of covering up and explaining. Finally, be willing to say, I changed my mind. Remember, things are changing so rapidly that a person who is willing to change their mind in the face of new information is vastly superior to the person who is adamant, unbending, and rigid in their thinking. Flexibility in times of turbulence and rapid change is the mark of competence and character. Not only do you look better to the people around you, but you feel much better and happier inside when you are willing to admit that you are often wrong, that you make mistakes, and that you can change your mind. Another key concept that you can use has to do with the theory of constraints, popularized by Elihu Goldratt, the Israeli management consultant, in his best-selling book, The Goal. This theory says that there is always a bottleneck, a constraint, or a limiting factor that determines the speed at which you get from where you are to where you want to go. Keep asking yourself, what is holding me back? What is setting the speed at which I increase my income? The 80-20 rule applies to constraints in your life and work in a special way. It says that fully 80% of the things that are holding you back from achieving your goals are internal. They are inside you. They are a result of a lack or deficiency in some skill, quality, or discipline. Only 20% of your constraints are external or outside of yourself. On a regular basis, you should ask yourself the question that the superior person always asks. What is it in me that is holding me back? What specific skill do you need to move ahead? What specific ability do you need to develop? What additional knowledge do you need to acquire? What particular characteristic or quality do you need to develop in yourself in order to achieve a goal that is important to you? What is your constraint? Your ability to accurately answer this question and to do something about it can save you months, even years of hard work. Another concept that you can use to run your personal corporation more effectively is called multivariate analysis, or MVA. This is a powerful thinking tool that sets traditional thinking about change and improvement on its head. In the past, when you wanted to improve a process of any kind, such as an advertisement or marketing campaign, you would change a single variable and test for the results. This method has been effective for many years. But with multivariate analysis, you instead change several variables at once. This can often bring about quantum leaps in performance and results. For example, sometimes people change jobs in anticipation of increasing their income. They go from one company to another. They do the same job at another company that they were doing at the previous company, and they often get an increase in income, and sometimes not. However, multivariate analysis suggests that you think about changing several things at once. Today, many people are not only changing companies, they are changing professions, they are moving from one side of the country to another, they are changing compensation plans from salary and bonus to commission and incentive, and they are changing the entire nature and structure of the way they do their work. The results often lead to a doubling, tripling, and even quadrupling of their income in 1 or 2 years. Look at your own work life. Look at all the variables that go into your life today. Look at the place, the work, the boss you work for, the people you work with, the customers you sell to, and the specific activities you engage in, and the specific talents and skills that you have acquired that you use most of the time. Look at the particular products and services that you produce or affect in some way, the way that you are paid and promoted, and whatever other variables you can think of. Then, look at how you might go about changing several variables at once. I asked at the beginning of this session if you wanted to double or triple your income. And you probably said yes. Well, there's a simple formula that I have taught for years that works for anyone who tries it. It is a way to double your income every 3 years or so, more or less. Some people do it faster, some slower. It is based on the law of incremental improvement. The law of incremental improvement says that by the yard it's hard, but inch by inch, anything's a cinch. The law of incremental improvement is captured in the principle of continuous betterment, or Kaizen, as the Japanese call it. It simply requires that you become a little bit better each day, each week, each month, and each year. In fact, if you become 0.1% better, more productive each day, that is the equivalent of becoming 0.01% better each day. Is this possible? Of course it is. You could become 0.01% better by simply setting better priorities and starting on your more important tasks a little earlier in the day. If you become 0.1%, 0.01% better each day, that adds up to 0.5% more productive per week. 0.5% per week equals 2% every 4 weeks. Since there are 13 four-week months in a year, if you become 2% better per month, you will become 26% more productive each year. Is that possible? Of course it is. If you become 26% more productive each year by applying the ideas you will learn in this program, plus continually upgrading your knowledge and skills so that you can do your job better and faster and of higher quality, you can become 26% more productive each year. 26% improvement per year with compounding will enable you to double your productivity, performance, and output in 2 years and 7 months. And since we live in a meritocracy, in that we are paid on the basis of our results, if you double your productivity, performance, and output, your income will quickly follow. Of course, if you're really serious, you can increase your productivity, performance, and output by more than 0.01% per day. The key is for you to begin to apply one or more of these concepts of personal strategic planning to your personal services corporation. Any one of these ideas that we have introduced can give you a quantum leap forward in your career. By practicing several of them regularly, you can become one of the most productive, highest paid, and most rapidly promoted people in your field. you will learn how to become literally unstoppable. According to many psychologists, change is the major cause of anxiety, stress, and problems in relationships and work today. We, as human beings, are simply not designed to absorb change at such an incredible rate. Because of this change, you probably make more decisions affecting your life in a year than your grandparents made in a lifetime. Rapid change in every part of your life makes you feel out of control. According to psychologists, the feeling of being out of control is the major source of stress and anxiety today. The minute you get your mind set in a particular direction, something changes and you have to readjust your thinking. You suddenly have to react in a new and unexpected way. Rapid change causes a feeling of uncertainty and unpredictability. It's a major source of frustration and underachievement. Rapid change leads to anger, worry, depression, and both psychological and physical illness. But the fact is that change is inevitable. It's unavoidable, and it's accelerating. The only thing that we can control is our response to change. Our ability to adapt, adjust, and respond to the onrushing turbulence of continuous and unpredictable change is the key determinant of how happy, healthy, wealthy, and satisfied we are in life. The good news is that goals enable you to control the direction of change. Setting goals is like putting your hands on the steering wheel of your life and controlling the forward movement of your career. Goals enable you to assure that change in your life is self-directed rather than random. Goals enable you to assure that change is positive and in a direction of your own choosing rather than negative or random or in a direction that moves you away from the things you want. When you become a consistent goal setter, when you write down your goals and plans and you work on them every day, you feel a tremendous sense of control. Goals make you more powerful and positive and confident. They raise your self-esteem and self-respect. And as you move progressively toward accomplishing them, they give you a tremendous feeling of personal pride in yourself and in your activities. There are three key principles of goal setting that you should return to on a regular basis. The first of these is called the Acres of Diamonds philosophy. In Russell Conwell's famous speech entitled Acres of Diamonds, he told of an African farmer who went off looking for diamonds without ever looking under his own feet on his own farm. Some years later, the farm, which he had sold, was found to be literally covered with acres of diamonds. By the same token, your own personal acres of diamonds probably lie under your own feet as well, right where you are. Your acres of diamonds may lie right within your own talents and abilities. Your greatest opportunities in life may be right within your current business or industry, within your current career or profession, within your existing company or department. The problem with diamonds is that they don't look like diamonds in their rough form. They look like chunks of rock. Opportunities are the same. They tend to come disguised as hard work. Your job is to recognize the possibilities in the opportunities for hard work that come your way, and then work on them and polish them until they turn into the diamonds that enrich your life. With regard to your goals, develop an entrepreneurial attitude. Don't be afraid to take a chance. Move out of your comfort zone. If you get an idea or an opportunity, move on it quickly. The more different things that you try, the more likely it is that you will eventually triumph. The second key principle of goal setting has to do with your area of excellence. We will discuss this in great detail when we go into personal marketing, but the simple truth is that you will never be successful and happy until you are absolutely excellent at doing something that gets you the kind of results that you want and earns you the kind of money that you deserve. One of the great responsibilities of adult life is for you to find your area of excellence and then to throw your whole heart into that area until you move to the top of your field. After that, both your view and your possibilities become unlimited. The final principle of goal setting has to do with your major definite purpose. This is the one goal that you want to accomplish more than any other single goal in life. This is the one goal that can help you to achieve more of your other goals than any other goal. This is the goal that you desire with burning intensity and that you absolutely believe you can accomplish if you work at it long enough and hard enough. Your ability to think through your life and to settle upon a major definite purpose is the key to unleashing your powers and unlocking your potential. Your major definite purpose must be clear, specific, and measurable. It must be time-bounded and committed to paper. Your major definite purpose must be accompanied by a plan to achieve it. Your major definite purpose should be the central focus and key measure of most of your activities. And once you have decided on your major definite purpose and begun moving toward it, your whole life begins to change for the better. The good news is that any plan for the achievement of your goals is better than no plan at all. Just as you need a blueprint to build even a birdhouse, you need a blueprint for your life and activities as well. A good set of goals and plans creates a completely integrated system for success and achievement. Fortunately, there is a simple 10-step formula for goal setting and goal achieving that you can use that will increase the likelihood of your achieving your goals by 10 times, by 1,000% or more. I've taught this simple process to thousands of people all over the world who have used it to go from rags to riches, from average performance to outstanding performance, and to go from the bottom of their companies to the very top. More people than I can count, including new immigrants with no advantages at all, have used this methodology to become self-made millionaires. They now drive beautiful cars, live in beautiful homes, and dine at the best restaurants. They have used this process to transform their lives and realize all of their dreams. And so can you. Here, then, are the steps. Step one in this formula is for you to decide exactly what you want in each area of your life. If money is your concern, decide exactly how much money you want to earn each year for the next 5 or 10 years. Decide exactly how much you want to save and accumulate. Decide exactly how much you want to be worth when you retire. Decide how much you want to earn each month, each week, each day, and each hour. The more specific you can be, the easier it is for you to create a workable plan that will make it possible. Set clear goals for your family as well. What sort of a home do you want to live in? What kind of a lifestyle do you want to enjoy? What sort of activities do you want to engage in? What sort of things do you want to do with and for your family? Fully 80% of your success is caused by your being absolutely clear about what it is you want. Set clear goals for your career and for your personal and professional development. Decide exactly what you want with regard to your health and with regard to your future. Decide what you want in spiritual terms, in social terms, and in terms of community service. The number one reason for success is clarity. The number one reason for failure is fuzziness or lack of clarity. If you don't know exactly what your goals are, set a goal for yourself to decide upon your goals. There's nothing more important to your success than for you to take the time to think through exactly what it is you want in every area. Step number two is for you to write it down clearly, specifically, and in measurable terms. The very act of writing down your goals takes them out of the air and out of your imagination and crystallizes them on paper where you can see them and touch them and feel them. As it happens, only 3% of adults have written goals, and those 3% accomplish more than the other 97% put together. So the first two steps are for you to decide exactly what you want and then to write it down. By writing down your goals, you move into the top 3% in our society. By writing down your goals, you put your hands onto the steering wheel of your own life and turn it in a new direction. By writing down your goals, you take complete control over your future. Step 3 in goal setting is for you to set a deadline. Your subconscious mind responds very well to clear, specific deadlines. And the very writing down of your goals and setting a deadline deepens and intensifies your desire for the goal and your belief that it is possible for you. If it is a big, long-term goal, set down sub-deadlines as well. If it is a 3-year goal, break it down into 1-year goals, 3-month goals, 1-month goals, and even weekly goals. The more tight and specific your time planning, the more likely it is that you will achieve your goals on schedule. A written deadline acts like a forcing system for your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind then motivates you and drives you towards your goal and simultaneously attracts the people, resources, and ideas that you need into your life to help you to achieve the goal. Sometimes people ask me, what if I don't achieve my goal by my deadline? Well then, set another deadline. There's no such thing as an unrealistic goal, just unrealistic deadlines. A deadline is merely a guess, an estimate, based on your current knowledge. You may achieve your goal before or after the deadline, but you must have a deadline. You must have a target to aim at. Stephen Covey advises that you start with the goal in mind. Start with the goal and work back to the present. This method of projecting forward and working backward is a peak performance technique that enables you to function with greater clarity, precision, and effectiveness. Remember, the primary reason that people don't set goals is because of the fear of failure. They are afraid that they won't achieve the goal. They're afraid that if they set a goal and they don't achieve it, they'll feel badly as a result. Of course, the one thing you can be sure of is that if you don't set goals, you won't achieve very much. People accidentally set themselves up to fail by doing everything possible to avoid failing. So decide what you want, write it down, and set a deadline. You will be amazed at what starts to happen in your life after those 3 simple steps. Step number 4 is for you to identify the obstacles that stand between you and your goal, especially your major definite purpose. Make a list of everything that is blocking you from achieving your goal. Ask yourself the question, why am I not at my goal already? Apply the theory of constraints to the obstacles holding you back from your goal. What sets the speed at which you achieve your goal? Remember, 80% of the reason that you are not achieving your goal is contained within yourself in some way. Look at your outside world. What is going on around you that is holding you back? What is the bottleneck or chief constraint that slows you down? Once you've identified the main obstacle or constraint, focus your time and energy on alleviating that key choke point. Sometimes the removal of one major obstacle can do more to help you achieve your goal than any other single activity you can engage in. The rule is that whenever you can identify a major obstacle or problem, swarm all over it, like a bee swarm. Focus all of your time and attention on it, hour after hour, day after day, until it's removed. Sometimes the identification and removal of a single obstacle can dislodge many of the other factors holding you back and enable you to make a quantum leap towards your goal. Step number 5 is for you to identify the knowledge, skills, abilities, and additional information you will require to achieve your goals. We live in the information age. This means that all forward movement requires the acquisition and application of new ideas and information of some kind. Keep asking yourself, why am I not at my goal already? What ideas, information, skills, abilities do you need in order to achieve the goal that you have set for yourself? Again, apply the theory of constraints. What one skill or piece of information would be more valuable to you than any other? What is the key piece of information, knowledge, or skill that is setting the speed at which you achieve your goal? There's always something. There's always a key skill, ability, competence, or piece of information that you lack that's holding you back. Your job is to identify this obstacle as clearly as you possibly can and then develop a plan to remove it. Ask the question, what one skill, if I developed and did it consistently in an excellent fashion, would have the greatest positive impact on my career? If you don't know the answer to this question, ask your friends. Ask your coworkers. Ask your boss. You must find out. The answer to this question is the key to your moving ahead faster in your life. It's the key to acceleration, leverage, and multiplication. Keep asking, what one skill would help me the most? Then write it down as a goal, set a deadline, make a plan, and work on it every single day. You achieve your goal as you acquire the essential skills and abilities that the goal demands. Think about your major goal. What one skill would help you the most to achieve it? Whatever it is, set that as your goal as well and go to work on it. Remember, anything that anyone else has learned and become excellent at, you can learn and become excellent at as well. And here's a key point. Nobody is better than you, and nobody is smarter than you. Like physical fitness or muscle size, if someone is doing better than you along the road of life, they have just worked out longer and more consistently along that particular line. And anything someone else has done, you can probably do as well. Step number 6 is for you to identify the people, groups, and organizations whose help, assistance, and cooperation you will need to achieve your goals. You can achieve little goals by yourself, but to achieve large goals, you need the help of lots and lots of people. The first step in getting the help of lots of people is for you to make a list of all the people in your life who can either help you or hurt you in the attainment of your objectives. Write them all down. Organize them by priority. Who can help you the most? Who can hinder you the most? Someone once said that the devil is in the details. The most successful people are invariably those who are the most meticulous and careful about the details of their lives. They leave nothing to chance. They check and double-check. They make lists and then sublists. They combine their ideas. They always think on paper and write things down. The average or mediocre performer trusts to luck, is too lazy to write things down, continually forgets, and misses countless opportunities as a result. Once you have a list of all the people whose help you require, think about how you can help them in advance to earn their support. Most of the people you know listen to only one radio station, WIIFM, or What's in it for me? Before people will help you, they have to see that there's some benefit or advantage to them in doing so. The law of sowing and reaping reigns supreme in human relationships. This simply says that you reap what you sow. You always get back what you give. One of the great rules for success is this: the more you give of yourself without expectation of return, the more good things that will come back to you in the most unexpected ways. If you need the cooperation of your boss or your customers, remember that the more and better work you do for them, the more open they are to helping you in some way. If you need the cooperation and support of your family, think through what you are going to do with and for them if they'll support you in a particular endeavor. When you need to negotiate for money, offices, equipment, or support of any kind, think through the negotiation from the other person's point of view. How can you structure things in such a way that they will benefit? The more you have thought through the needs and wants of others before you talk to them, the more effective you will be in getting their assistance to help you to achieve your goals. By the way, with regard to goals, many people feel they have to have a certain amount of money to begin moving forward. This is seldom the case. You can usually start right where you are with whatever resources you have. If you have to borrow money from the bank or from anyone else, remember that they always look for the 4 C's, and you must be prepared with answers for each of them. The first C is credit. What is your credit rating? One of the most important things you can do throughout your life, especially in keeping your career on the fast track, is to keep your credit rating impeccably clean. If ever there's a problem or question about your credit rating, you must do everything possible to clean it up as fast as possible. Your credit rating is available to virtually anyone, and it is a major indicator to most people of the kind of person you are. Benjamin Franklin once wrote, "Money is money and credit is money, and the man with good credit can call upon all the money of his friends." The second ingredient that banks look at is your collateral. The general rule for a banker making a first loan is that they are looking for as much as 500% coverage of any amount that they lend you. They want to know the primary way you will repay the loan and how you will then repay the loan if the first source of repayment disappears completely. I've been approached by banks who even wanted me to put up 100% of the money that I wanted to borrow in the form of a fixed-term deposit with them. When I told them that this didn't make very much sense, that I would give them as much money as I wanted to borrow, they just shrugged their shoulders and told me that this was their basic requirement. The third factor that bankers look for is your character. Your reputation as a good and honest person who fulfills his or her commitments is a key factor in the banker's decision. Any testimonials or letters of recommendation that you have to show the bank can help your loan application. Guard your character carefully throughout your working life. And the final C stands for cosigner. This is someone else with better credit, collateral, and character than you can offer at the moment who will cosign for you. Many of the biggest success stories in America started off with a cosigner for someone who did not have the necessary assets or credit to get a loan on his own behalf. Often people think that the main constraint they have in achieving a goal, starting a business or expanding a career, has to do with lack of funds. The truth is that it's much better for you to start off with a limited amount of money and work your way up based on your sales and profits than it is for you to start off with too much money at the beginning. When you have limited funds, you become more determined and creative right away. If you have too much money to start with, you may spend it all without learning what you have to learn in order to be successful. Step number 7 is for you to make a plan. Lay out all the key points that you have identified in the first 6 steps, and then create a business plan for your life, for your own personal services corporation. Make a list of every single detail you can think of. In the future, as you think of additional things that you need to do, write them down on your list. Keep adding items to the list until the list is complete. This will invariably take some time, but once the list is complete, you will have created a springboard to success. Organize the items on your list by priority. Determine which of these items are more valuable and helpful and which are less. Then organize your list by sequence. Which of these items needs to be done first and which can be done later? Which of these items depends on your doing something else before you get to them? The very act of creating a written plan for your life and your work intensifies your desire for your goal. It deepens your belief that the goal is attainable. It motivates you at a subconscious level to do more and more of the things that will make it a reality. It actually changes the way you think about yourself and your life. A person with a goal and a plan will run circles around a person without one. The man or woman who knows exactly what he wants, writes it down, and makes a plan to accomplish it is a far stronger, more definite, and determined person than someone who is vague or unsure. Step number 8 is for you to take action on your plan. Action orientation is perhaps the most readily identifiable quality of highly successful people. It's absolutely amazing how many people actually reach the point of developing their goals and written plans, and then they procrastinate and find reasons not to take action. Do something every day that moves you toward your major goal. Keep the plate spinning. Develop what is called the momentum principle of success. The momentum principle says that it may take a tremendous amount of energy for you to get started in the direction of a goal, but once you are in motion, it takes much less energy for you to keep moving. However, if you stop completely, it then takes an enormous amount of energy for you to get back up and get going again. This is why all successful people are constantly moving. They are intensely action-oriented. They are moving targets. They are always doing something, small or large, that moves them in the direction of something that they want. Once you've determined your goals clearly, put your subconscious mind to work to reinforce the goal and intensify your belief that it is possible. Use your subconscious mind for acceleration and leverage by writing and rewriting your goals on a regular basis. Step number 9 is now for you to visualize your goals continually as if they were already a reality. Your subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between something that you vividly imagine and something that is really going on around you. When you vividly imagine your goal as already achieved, your subconscious accepts your visualization as a command and begins to attract into your life all the resources that you need to achieve the goal. Your subconscious mind makes your words and actions fit a pattern consistent with your clearly imagined goal. There are 4 keys to visualization. The first is frequency. Visualize your goal as attained as often as possible throughout the day. Whenever you have a spare moment, play a picture of your goal exactly as it would be in reality on the screen of your mind. The more often you do this, the deeper it is imprinted on your subconscious mind and the faster it takes on a power of its own. The second key to visualization is intensity. The more you can emotionalize your goal and get the feeling of excitement and pleasure that would accompany the attainment of the goal, the deeper the goal becomes embedded in your subconscious. The more excited you are about what you want, combined with frequently imagining it as a reality, the faster it will come into your life. The third key to visualization is vividness. This refers to the clarity with which you can see your goal in your mind's eye. There's a one-to-one relationship here. When you can see your goal with perfect clarity with your eyes closed, at that point, it emerges in your life. The final key to visualization is duration. This refers to the length of time you can hold the picture of your goal on the screen of your mind. The longer, the better. When you combine all 4 of these together, by seeing your goal frequently, by feeling the goal achieved with great intensity, by seeing it vividly, and by holding the picture for longer periods of time, you activate all your subconscious and superconscious powers. In almost no time, the goal will begin to materialize in your life. At the end of this session, when you turn off the tape, I would like you to engage in a goal-setting exercise. For this, you will require initially a blank sheet of paper and a pen. That's all. At the top of this blank sheet of paper, you write the word goals and today's date. Then, as quickly as possible, you write down 10 goals that you would like to achieve in the next 12 months. These goals must be written in the present tense, as though a year has passed and you have already achieved the goals. The goals must be written in the first person singular, that's using the I form, and in positive terms. In this way, the goals are immediately transferred from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind, from your short-term memory to your long-term memory, where they immediately begin to affect your thoughts, feelings, actions, and behavior. For example, if you want to lose weight, you would write the words, I weigh X number of pounds, exactly as though a year has passed and this is what you weigh. If you want to increase your income, you would write, I earn X number of dollars each year, exactly as though a year has passed and this is what you are currently earning. You can use this system, present tense, personal, and positive, on any kind of goal, personal or business, tangible or intangible, health or financial. By the way, you can write more than 10 goals if you like. Some people write 15 or 20 goals. But for the sake of this exercise, you must write at least 10 goals. By writing down your 10 goals, you move into the top 3% of men and women in our society. Remember, you are what you do. It is not what you say, or wish, or hope, or intend, but only what you do that counts. And if you do what the top people do, then you are on your way to becoming one of them. Now, would you like to move into the top 1%? The way that you do this is by reviewing your list of goals and then by selecting the one goal, the accomplishment of which can help you more than any other goal. Imagine that you could have one goal on that list immediately, absolutely guaranteed. Which one of these goals, if you accomplished it right now, would have the greatest positive impact on your life? Whatever that one most important, major, definite purpose goal is, put a circle around it. By deciding on your major, definite purpose, your number one goal, you have now moved into the top 1%. The rest is up to you. Your job is now to process this goal through the goal-setting exercise we discussed as quickly as possible. Write the goal down. Set a deadline. Identify the obstacles in your way, the ideas and information you'll require, and the people whose cooperation you need. Make a plan. Organize your plan by priority and sequence, and then take action towards your goal. Visualize your goal as a reality and as intensely as you can every single day. You will be absolutely amazed at the results. All you need to change your life is a pad of paper, a pen, and yourself. Write down at least 10 goals you want to accomplish in the next 12 months. Select the one goal that will help you the most, and then identify the one skill that will help you the most to achieve that one goal. Then take action on your goals and do something every day to develop that skill until they both become a reality. Step number 10 in the goal-setting methodology is for you to resolve in advance that you will never, never give up. Make a decision that once you have started toward your goal, you will keep working toward the goal until you attain it. In a study done in New York a couple of years ago, they found that 95% of people who wrote down their goals and made plans for their accomplishment eventually achieved the goals they had set for themselves. Fully 95%. The one key requirement, however, was that they did not quit when the going got rough. They continued to persist over and over again until they finally achieved the goal. In the movie Apollo 13, there's a famous scene where Eugene Krantz, the head of NASA, played by the actor Ed Harris, sees that everyone is beginning to panic over the fact that Apollo 13 is having serious technical difficulties in space. The people at Mission Control are beginning to talk about the possibility of losing the spacecraft and everything that might happen to their careers as a result. In this scene, Eugene Krantz steps up to the railing and calls them all to attention. When the room is silent, he says in a loud, clear voice, "We are having some technical difficulties with the rocket, but these men will be back on time and they will be back safe. And listen to me, failure is not an option." Those words, "failure is not an option," totally transformed the thinking of the people in Mission Control. From that moment on, they put their whole hearts into finding a way to repair the spacecraft and bring it back safely. The only question they asked was how. From now on, when you think about your major goals and you experience fear or doubt of any kind, immediately cancel those fears by reminding yourself that failure is not an option. Remember, you are never defeated until and unless you accept defeat as a reality. If you keep on keeping on, nothing can stop you. Failure is not an option.